Well, God is awesome, isn't he?
Yes.
His yoke is easy and his burden is light. There's nothing greater than serving the Lord. There's nothing greater than learning of him and seeking him and following his ways. That the hand of God would be manifested in our lives and that we would see that there is nothing impossible with God. It's one thing to say it and to read it and to know it. It's a totally different thing to be able to experience it for yourself. And God, he is able to reveal himself. He is able to teach us and to mold us and shape us. And he is able to enable us that we might be his witnesses, that we might be his ambassadors, might be the very people that he has called us to be. And that is what our desire is, to get to know him and to be drawn closer to him in every aspect of our lives, that we would be able to go into the world to fulfill the great commission of God, and that is to bring the gospel to every person that we know and would meet. That is the great commission of God, to represent the kingdom of heaven and of God. And so we have been talking about our greatest potential, achieving our greatest potential. Our desire is to grow closer to God, to reaching our greatest potential in God, allowing the gifts and the talents that God has given us in our life to be able to be used to help others to be drawn closer to God. We have many gifts and many talents. Each and every one of us have abilities, and we have skills and skill sets that God has given us, not just so we can walk around proudly saying, look what I have done, and to be able to do things in the world, but for the very purpose of bringing glory and honor to God. Every gift and every talent that we have is for that purpose, to honor God and to be used to advance the kingdom of God. And so we know that the world is using all of their gifts and talents to advance a carnal living and the ways of the world and the pursuit of the possessions of this life. But in Christ, we are in pursuit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are in pursuit of God himself. Our desire is to be drawn closer to him, to be made more and more like him. And that is what God is doing in our life. And so today we begin with our theme, the pinnacle of God. And we're going to have as our theme verse today, Exodus 19, verse 20. And it says, the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And so we would like to use as a theme today, come to the mountaintop. Come to the mountaintop. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, God, that you would open up our hearts and renew our minds as we receive your word today. Lord, let us hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us, Lord, as the people of God. And Lord, that you would take your word and it would bring forth a fruit in our life, that we would be transformed by it, and we would be used by your Holy Spirit to go out in the power of the word of God to bring the truth of God to those that we would meet. Help us, Lord God, to be your representatives and your ambassadors in a true sense, honoring all that you have done for us and enabling those who do not know you to come to know you in the pardon of their sins, even as we have. And we ask, Lord, that you would be lifted up and exalted in every aspect of our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Come to the mountaintop. Well, that is important to understand and to know that it is up to us as the people of God to respond to the call of God, to respond to what God is already saying and doing. God is already at work. He's already doing his will in the earth. He's always and already working out the very plan that he established in Genesis all the way through to Revelation. And even in this day and age, we are part of the fulfillment of God's plan being fulfilled or finalized. We are part of that work of God. And so as we are called by God, like Moses was called to the mountaintop, we too are called by God. And God has called us to represent him in this generation, in this world. And so the word pinnacle is the word that we have been thinking of and have been praying about. And so it means the most successful point, the culmination, a high point or piece of rock. And it's tied to these other words that you can see here, the highest level or high point, the summits and climaxes and apexes, vertex, apogees, ascendancy, the upper limit, the meridian, a needle, a crag, a mountaintop. How about a hoodoo? So the hoodoo means not like voodoo, but hoodoo. It means the pinnacle. It means the top or the peak. It means you achieve something great. And so God has called us to be a people who are in pursuit of God, reaching the very pinnacle, the very Sirach of God, being able to be agile in our ability to pursue God, being able to navigate through the challenges and the difficulties of life, and able to impact people as we live our lives. Each and every one of us has been called for such a time as this. In Exodus 19:17, Moses brings the people out of Egypt. I'm sure you're familiar with the story of Egypt. And God has used Moses from a child to be trained up as a son of Pharaoh to take over in the leading of the nation in this world called Egypt. And so Moses thought as a young man that he was going to be next in line to be Pharaoh. And so he was being groomed for that purpose. He was being trained for that purpose. And God was developing skills in him and through him. And one day he began to realize who he was. That he was not an Egyptian, that he was a child of God. That he was an Israelite. That he had a purpose that was beyond Egypt. His purpose was more to advance the very kingdom of God, and not just for the century in which he lived, but for centuries to come. He would be a model and a role model for all humanity to follow. And so we, as the people of God living in this 21st century, are looking back to the days of Moses, and we are learning how God called a man and how God used one who was a murderer and who was one who was a fugitive from the law. And he was someone who ultimately spent 40 years living on the run. And yet God used him. God empowered him and sent him back to the very people he ran from and the very people that he misrepresented before God and before men. And so God used him in a powerful way. And maybe you're here today and you're thinking, hey, I've done so many terrible things in my life. My life has not been exactly the way it ought to be. God can't use me. I've made terrible mistakes. I haven't been in my right mind, and I didn't do what was right. And I thought that I was doing the right thing, and I didn't think it really mattered. But now I've learned different, and now I feel ashamed. I feel bad about what I did. And I know that I want to be used, but I don't think God can use me. I don't think anybody can use me. I don't have any value. That is not true. God can use you. God can change your life. God can transform your life. He can make you new. He can cause old things to pass away and everything to become new. Your way of thinking, your way of living, your whole life can be transformed, and the very power of the presence of God can exude from you as you are transformed by the word. word of God. And so Moses brings the people out of Israel. He brings them out of Egypt, out of Egypt, and he brings them across the Red Sea, and he brings them into this land called the wilderness. The wilderness is a transitional place. It's a place, it's not really where God is taking you, but it's where you have to pass through in order to get there. And every one of us kind of goes through a wilderness type experience in our life, where we're not quite where we're supposed to be or where God wants us to be. We're somewhere on the way, on that path to where God is taking us. And it's a path that will cause us to be challenged and to be refined. It was a path that will lead us to a place where ultimately we will experience the blessings of God. That doesn't just happen overnight. It's not something that is just 1, 2, 3. We don't just, we just pray a prayer and then everything is just made new. Everything is all done and finished. No, it takes time. God brings us through a process. And as God brings us through the process of living refines us as the Holy Spirit directs us, as the Word of God leads us and guides us. And to the extent in which we apply the Word of God in our lives and to the extent in which we submit ourselves to God's Word, that will be the degree to which we proceed through the wilderness. The Israelites spent 40 years in the wilderness, even though if they had have kept going, they could have been clean across in 40 days. But it took them 40 years. And it took them 40 years because they had so many people in the congregation that were bringing chaos and confusion, that were resisting the Word of God, that were still holding on to the mentality of the Egyptians and the ways of Egypt. And because of that mindset, because of those kinds of people in the midst, God had to keep them walking in circles around and around and around for 40 years. When they could have been through and into the promised land in just over a month. 6 weeks or so, they could have been into the promised land. But because of their stiff-neckedness and their hard-headedness and their relentless wanting to hold on to the ways of Egypt and criticizing Moses and all the things that were going on with this groups of people that were among them, they were therefore hindered as a whole. Sometimes you wonder, how much are we hindered today because we listen to the wrong people? How much today are we going around in circles, not able to really experience the blessing of God and the fullness of God because the wrong people are speaking into our lives? That's what Moses was experiencing. And he was dealing with a mentality of people that were a hindrance to God's ability to bring them through into the promised land. And so in verse 17, it says that Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. And they stood at the foot of the mountain. This is what God has called us to do. God has called us to come to the foot of the mountain. And we have to come to the place where God can meet us. God brings us to a place where the Lord can actually see and enable us to understand him and his ways. And so in verse 18 it says, "Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently." And so here is Moses standing at the foot of the mountain with the nation of Israel all around him, and then all of a sudden they're waiting on God, and God shows up. Isn't that great? Isn't it awesome when God shows up? When God shows up, he doesn't just show up and say, "Okay, guys, I'm here." No, he comes, there's an earthquake. And everything starts shaking. There's smoke and fire. And all of a sudden, all of this great majesty is being established. And the people are there going, "Whoa, whoa." And all of a sudden, the earthquake and everything is shaking. And you're like, "Whoa, what is that? What is going on? Is it just an earthquake?" And Moses is going, that's the Lord. The Lord is coming. And so often we are looking for God. We are wanting God to do something in our life. And then all of a sudden things start getting shaken up. All of a sudden there's like an earthquake and everything is rumbling. And maybe there's smoke and fire. And it seems like, oh, there's chaos and confusion. And there's all kinds of things going on. And we don't understand it. Even sometimes we'll say it's the devil. Oh, the Lord, we need God to help us. Oh, Satan is doing some crazy thing. Well, no, it's the power of God. God is causing the shaking. God is causing the stirring. And that's what God does. He shakes and he stirs and he gets us ready to encounter God. And that's what enables us to be drawn closer to God. And you see the Lord and you say, oh God, here I am. Save me, Lord. And you begin to call upon the name of the Lord. Have you ever gone through situations that shook you up? Have you ever been through circumstances that seemed overwhelming or that were too much for you? I can tell you that when you go through these things, there is something that calls you to God. It causes you to pray. It causes you to seek the face of God. When sickness comes or when issues come, when problems come, it draws us closer to God, and it ought to cause us to pray. It ought to cause us to call upon the name of the Lord. And when we cry out to him, God begins to do a work among us. And so this was taking place at the base of the mountain. And then when the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. Woo! Hallelujah. God responds to Moses, and the sound, it was the sound of the trumpet was going off, and all of a sudden, Moses calls on God, and God responds to him with thunder. And it says, the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain. And Moses did what? He went up. Hallelujah. He went up. And that is what God is doing for us. God is calling us to the top of the mountain. And when challenges come, when difficulties come, when hardship comes, when there are all kinds of things that we face, all kinds of situations and circumstances happen in our lives, it is God shaking and calling us to the top of the mountain, saying, come to me. Come. And God is calling us to come, calling us to come. Oh, the people of Israel represent the church. They represent the people of God. And there are all kinds of people in church, but not everybody is called to the mountaintop because not everybody hears the voice of God. Not everybody responds to the things of God. And as a result, we end up missing out on God. And we have to learn how to hear the voice of God. And we have to learn how to recognize God, not just say it's thunder, not just say, oh, it's an earthquake. No, it's God trying to get our attention. It's God drawing us closer to him. And even as God called Moses out from the midst of the congregation, there are those who are walking with God. There are those who are communing with God. And as we pursue God, as we look to God, we need to come out from the midst of everyday people. It represents common everyday people. Everybody who is born again has the same potential, isn't that right? For God to use us, for God to mold us, to shape us. God is leading us and guiding us. God is taking us to the promised land. He's taking us to heaven. Who doesn't want to go to heaven? Everybody wants to go to heaven. But the process of being refined and being used by God is unique and it is different. And it calls us to respond to God. And if you want God to use you powerfully in your life, you must come to the mountain. You must come to the place where you encounter God. You can't stay down on the ground where all the chaos and the confusion is, where there are people who are arguing and debating, where there are people who are working against the very plan of God. That's what Moses was dealing with when he was up in the mountaintop. All the people at the bottom who had Egyptian mindsets were taking over and trying to bring in confusion and trying to get the people to go in the wrong direction. And they were trying to get Aaron to give in into the ways of their thinking, into the way that they were doing things. And there's always going to be these kinds of people in our lives. There are always going to be people who think like the world. There are always going to be people who don't see and understand the vision and the perceptions of God. And as a result, we can be misguided. We can be misled. But if you come to the mountaintop, you will hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. You will hear what God himself is saying. And when you hear what God is saying, when you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, you will be able to accomplish the very will of God. Because Moses was fulfilling the plan of God. He was fulfilling the will of God. God was doing something great in his life. He was molding him and shaping him, just like he's molding and shaping us. And God wants to use us. He wants to bring glory and honor to his name. God wants to be lifted up and exalted in your life and in my life. And in order to do that, we must learn how to hear from God for ourselves. We must learn how to respond to God. We all come to the mountain, to the base of the mountain together. We all come to the altar of the Lord together. We all come to the place where we're hearing the God and seeing God's work and God doing what he's doing. But it's up to us as individuals to come to the mountaintop. And you can only come to the mountaintop if God calls us. And when God calls us, then we will come. And God will call you as long as your heart is right before the Lord. And so Matthew 5:1 gives us this example of Jesus. When he saw the crowds, he went up onto the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Well, how is that? How is that? Why didn't the crowd come? Well, they didn't, because they didn't have the same kind of relationship with Jesus that the disciples did. And because the disciples had a close relationship with Jesus, because they walked with Jesus, because they spent time with Jesus, because they were under his training, they had been called by Jesus. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And because they followed him, they were able to come to the mountaintop. And so I want to challenge you today to heed the call of Jesus. It says that he opened his mouth and began to teach them. That is what happens when you heed the call of God. God will begin to teach us. God will begin to reveal himself to us. His word will come alive in our lives. We'll be able to hear and see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and doing. And God will begin to manifest himself in our life. And as we listen to God, God will order our steps and he will navigate us through the obstacles and the challenges and the difficulties. And when the thunder comes and the lightning comes, we don't have to fear or worry. We will know that it is our God and he has come to deliver us. He has come to liberate us and to set us free. And because we have a right relationship with him, because we know his voice, because we have a heart for him and a desire to be used of God, then God will begin to manifest himself in our lives. And his Holy Spirit will be poured out, a fresh anointing of God. And his glory will begin to fill our lives. And we will be overtaken by his very presence. And the anointing of God will begin to break down and destroy every yoke of bondage. Every trace of Egypt and the Egyptian way of thinking will begin to be washed away. And we will be set free. And the Spirit of the Lord will manifest himself in our lives. And so Micah in chapter 4, verse 1 says, and it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. Now, this is a last days reference, and the last days began during the time of Acts, during the time after Jesus ascended into heaven. The last days began. In fact, the very coming of Jesus signified the last days. And we know this as we look through Scripture. This phrase is often used throughout the Word of God, and it typifies these events that have taken place during the time of Jesus, that would begin to be the last days or the days of the end. That's when it would begin. So we are, even now, 2,000 years later, past Jesus, are still living in the last days. And the last days are winding up. And of course, every day that we live is the one day closer to the second coming of Jesus. And Jesus shall return, and he is due to come, as we see the prophecies being fulfilled that have been established in the Word of God. And this is one of the things that will happen at the end of the last days, towards the latter end of the last days. And it's talking about how in Jerusalem, the temple of God will be reestablished, and people will be streaming to it in order to worship God. Jesus will return, as we know, and he will come in the clouds and show himself over this region and this area. And it says, many nations will come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us about his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. And from Zion will go forth the law, even the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This is what God will be doing in the last days, that the word of God will actually be preached or declared in Jerusalem, going out into all the world, and that the word of God would be established throughout the earth from Jerusalem. It will be a pinnacle place. It will be the place where Jesus is declared his homestead and his foundational land, where the word of God will go out from. And this is a very interesting passage because it also is paralleled here in Isaiah. And Isaiah says the word or which Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in Isaiah 2, now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. So here we see it again. We see this idea that there is coming in the last days where the Jerusalem and the house of the Lord will be established there, and the word of God will be raised up and established as a place where the word of God is declared. And people will be streaming into Jerusalem, will be coming to Jerusalem in these last days. And we know that this is already beginning to happen, as the U.S. embassy has been moved there now to Jerusalem, and we know that there are people over the past, I don't know how many decades it's been now, but it's become a popular place where now Christians are flowing into Jerusalem to visit the Holy Land and the holy sites, more so now than ever before. And so we see this increase going on more and more over time, and this will continue as the days become more and more closer to the second coming of Jesus. And that one day, that not only will people flow in, but the word of the Lord will be being preached there, going out, and God will reestablish himself. And this is something that is happening. It's even in the making, even right now. And so these are the days that we see. And it's very interesting that Isaiah is saying the same thing as Micah. And we know they didn't copy from each other, because God spoke to both men. And God is making this point clear. And so in verse 3 it says, many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his path. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God wants to teach his people. We need to learn of God. We need to understand the ways of God and take on the mentality of God. So often we come into the house of the Lord, or we come to Christ, and we think that we know enough. We think that we know what we need to know. We think that we're fine the way we are. Someone's even said, come as you are. We hear that term, come as you are. Come as you are is great. You do. You come as you are. But once you get here, you begin to change. You begin to transform into the image of Christ. You don't come and stay the same. You come and you change. And that is what God is doing. He's transforming us. He's molding us. He's shaping us. It's more than just about the way we feel or the way we think, but it's about how much are we aligning ourselves to the Word of God, to the truths of God. And when we are fellowshipping with God, when we are communing with God, transformation takes place. Change takes place. We become more patient, more kind, gentle. But we become more of the fruit of the Spirit of God is being cultivated in our lives. And the love of God is at the very foundation of everything that we do. And His love is at work in us, stirring in us and molding us such that we cannot help but to become more like Jesus. And it begins to happen. We begin to change and transform. And sometimes we don't even realize it. We don't even know it until something happens. You don't know how much Jesus you have until something terrible happens in your life. Until somebody gets on your nerves. When somebody gets on your nerves, that's when you discover how much Jesus somebody has. Isn't that right? That's right. When people start annoying you, you start realizing you're running out of Jesus. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, it's like, oh, man, you feel like you want to respond, like you need to do something. And all of a sudden, you're like, ooh, Jesus is running low. I need to go back and fill up, right? I got to go fill up. I got to say, Lord, fill me, Lord. Lord, help me. Oh, God, give me strength. And you got to turn your focus away from the very thing that's draining you of your supernatural strength in God. Keep you from having the peace of God, from having patience. Oh, I don't know about you, but I know what it feels like. Oh, to have all of a sudden your patience being drained, right? All of a sudden your patience is being sucked out of you. And you feel it. You're like, ooh. Oh, man, oh, you know what, man, I had enough of this, you know, and you start feeling, I had enough, and you want to like, oh, I don't know, you try to, like, whoop, you just like, and you can be anywhere, isn't that right? You could be waiting online at Walmart. Yes, you could, and that thing will be draining out of you, and you feel it, you're like, oh, man, what is wrong with these people, what are they doing, what is going on out here, oh, my goodness. They know this is the high time of the day. They ought to have more people on duty. Oh, my goodness. Well, how can they have a sale and they don't even have enough of the stuff? Well, I'm supposed to be getting. Well, what's going on? It could be anywhere. It could be on your job. You could be driving. You could find yourself in traffic. You can find yourself with your car acting funny as you travel. And all of a sudden, the rumbling and the shaking is not God. It's your car. You start crying out to God. Help me, Lord, to get where I'm going safely. And we start to call upon the name of the Lord. We cry out to God. But God is at work in the midst of us. And God is trying to bring us to a place where we can draw strength from Him so we don't run dry. We stay filled. We stay refreshed in God. And so that we don't allow all of the resources and the attributes of God to drain out of us. That old phrase, I had to put my Jesus down and deal with the situation. Oh, my goodness. That's a bad place to be. Man, if you can put Jesus down, I'm scared of you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You know, hold up here. I have to put my Jesus down. No, you can't put Jesus down. You need to pick Him up. You need to be going, what? Wait, Jesus, come on, come on. Jesus is putting you down. He's like, oh, no, this ain't me. That ain't Jesus right there. You start moving away. When the Lord starts moving away from you and you start feeling that draining, you need to start crying out, God, have mercy on me. I'm about to sin. You call upon the name of the Lord and God will draw you in and He will liberate us. He will set us free. And sometimes we just need to learn how to wait on God. As He pours into us and allows us to be refreshed. And it says that God is establishing Himself. And in these last days, that's what we see happening. That's what God is doing. In Psalm 24, it says, and the earth is the Lord, and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it, everyone, everything. God is in control. There is nothing God can't handle. There is nothing God can't see us through. He can navigate us. He can enable us. And we can overcome obstacles. And we can see the very hand of God manifested in our life in a powerful way. Because the Spirit of the Lord is at work among us. But we are not alone. God is with us. And even as we go through the trials of life, and it seems like everything is falling apart around us, all we need to do is keep our eyes on Jesus. All we need to do is stay focused on the Lord. And we don't make any crazy decisions or rash decisions or changes, but we hold on and we wait on God and we trust in Him and we look to Him and we wait on Him. We press in and we say, God, I need to come to the mountaintop. And we get to where God is. And when you get to where God is, He will teach us. He will breathe life into us. He will help us. He will mold us and He will shape us. God is continually renewing us, continually opening our eyes, and we ought to be learning and perceiving things more and more each day, seeing the hand of God manifested in our lives. It says, for He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands. Hallelujah. That's what my wife wanted. She said, wash your hands. She says, did you wash your hands? I'm like, yeah, they're not that bad. They're not dirty. My hands are fine. So I go, wash your hands. You don't wash your hands enough. And then I read this verse and I said, he who has clean hands. Well, sometimes you think you have clean hands. I better wash them again just to make sure. If the Lord is going to examine your hands, you might want to wash them again. Praise God. I might want to go wash my hands again. And so it says, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully? He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face, even Jacob. Hallelujah. And this is what God is calling us. This is what He says of us. We are of the generation that is seeking the Lord. We are of this generation who is looking to God, who's in pursuit of God. I don't know about you, but I'm in pursuit of God. I am seeking the Lord, and I don't think you would be here if you weren't either. And so together, we can come to the mountaintop. One by one, we can pursue God. I can't go for you. You can't go for me. My parents can't go for me. My kids can't go for me, or I can't go for my kids, and I can't go for my friends or my coworkers. We all have to go for ourselves. God calls us each one individually. We give an account before God, and we respond to the call of God. Come to the mountaintop. And as we come to the mountaintop, God will meet us there, and God will teach us His ways. Moses received the Ten Commandments. Not in that chapter, but in chapter 24, a little later, he comes along. God begins to speak to him. And I tell you, the more you come to God, the more He will teach you things. The more He will give you direction. The more He will mold you and shape you. And if we keep coming, and we don't give up, and we don't faint, and we stay the course, we will be transformed more and more. And one day, the Word of God says, we will be like Jesus. In fact, we will see Him as He is. And God will manifest Himself in a powerful way in our life. Why? Because we are a part of this generation who are seeking the Lord. We are seeking God, and we want to see our generation redeemed, don't we? We want to see the people that are living during our lifetime redeemed and saved and drawn closer to God, our co-workers and our loved ones and our friends. We want to see the hand of God manifested in their lives. And we can't do it for them. All we can do is bring them to the base of the mountain and allow them to experience the thunder and see the very shakings of God and the manifestations of God, so that when He calls them by name, that they too can respond to God. In fact, the Word of God says that many are called, but few are chosen. God is calling all of us. He's called us. and those who are walking in the righteousness of God, they shall receive a blessing from the Lord. And my desire is to walk upright before the Lord, to walk in a way that glorifies God, to walk in a way that honors Him. And that is what we want. And that is what we are moving together to do, that we are cultivating in our lives, that the Spirit of God would be manifested among us. Psalm 121 says, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? And I don't know about you, but that is where the help comes, from the mountaintop. God is in the mountaintop. He came down out of heaven, down into the mountains. Jesus, when he came down, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And when Jesus was lifted up, God raised him up, and it says that he even ascended into heaven. As all the disciples watched, saints of God, that's where your help comes from. Your help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And it says he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. And behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God is always awake. He's always on the case. He's always ready. He's always there. And you can call on him anytime. You can look to him anytime. And when you feel like you're running dry, like you're running out of resources, like you don't have any water to wash the soap away, that takes away the dirt and takes away all those things that oppress and bind us, that weigh us down, that hinder us, when we are able to experience newness in life, all we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord, and he will set us free. It doesn't matter where you are, you can call on the Lord. Call on the Lord as you wait online, at Walmart, as you feel yourself run dry. You can call on him while driving your car on the way to work. You can call him while sitting in a meeting, at work, on your job. You can whisper the name Jesus. Have mercy. Lord, give me wisdom.